We just heard that the Joint Finance Committee is planning to take its first votes this week on the state budget. And we heard about a whole host of other issues making news in our first half of our state capitol report. In this half, we will hear from the state Senate's minority leader on many of these issues and on hearings that Democrats plan to hold on the state budget. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, April 22nd. The state Senate's minority leader, Chris Larson, joins us in this half. We will welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Chris Larson is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee, and he is the Senate minority leader. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So the Joint Finance Committee held four public hearings on the state budget, one in a Milwaukee suburb, one in Green Bay, one in Lake Delton, and one in Baldwin near Eau Claire. Isn't that enough?
Well, it's the least amount they've had since last time. But before that, you have to go all the way back to 1985 since the Joint Finance Committee had so few hearings. And this in light of a group of individuals who are turning their backs on the public and turning it towards private industry instead, at a time where you have a governor who hasn't had a event open to the public the entire year, I think it's important for Democrats to make sure we're opening the doors to them, making sure that they're all heard. So we are launching 8 additional town halls or listening sessions to make sure that people can be heard on this. So we had our first one on Saturday in Milwaukee, in the heart of Milwaukee. We had over 100 people come, and we actually went over time, which is, I think, key to point out that any of these other listening sessions that the Republicans have put on, if they hit the time limit and there's still people waiting, well, that's tough. You know, they're turned away. And most of theirs all of theirs have been during business hours. So folks who work for a living, for folks who are trying to earn a wage, aren't able to come out and be heard. Whereas all 8 of ours are at a time either at the end of the day or on the weekend where they're going to be heard. And if they show up, we'll stay longer. We think it's important enough. This budget is important enough for them to be heard.
Yeah, so the next one is tomorrow in Madison. What's up?
No, the next one is actually tonight. In Wausau. That's okay. I just know because I'm up here. So the next one tonight is in Wausau in Marathon County, at UW-Marathon County. And then we do have one at the same time in Viroqua tonight, and then we have another one tomorrow in Madison at Black Hawk Middle School.
And where else will you be?
We're going to be in Wisconsin Rapids the day after that on Wednesday, and on Thursday we'll be in Appleton. On Saturday we're going to be over in Barron, and then on Monday we'll be up in Eau Claire.
Yeah. So what did you hear in Milwaukee? What do people seem to be most concerned about?
Well, people are really concerned about their kids. With education being one of the hottest topics in this budget, people are really upset. Most people know last time we saw the largest cut to education in our state's history. And so people were really waiting with bated breath of what was going to happen in this budget, especially since there was a surplus, some extra money announced, how much money was going to go into public schools. And when we found out the answer to that was $0, that there was going to be no money going back into the classrooms. It would only go, only the 0.01% that was going to public schools was going to go towards tax relief instead. I think a lot of people got really upset. And if that wasn't enough to upset them, the fact that voucher schools got a 29% increase and are getting up to $1,400 per student for private vouchers, that really upset them. So we saw people who really heartbreaking stories of people who, there was one woman, Melissa Patterson, who had her son who was 6, and when he was 5, he entered a grade where there was 41 other 5-year-olds in the classroom, so she shifted him to another school where there's just 35 5-year-olds. So it's just trying to imagine those kids fighting for attention and having this budget mean that that's going to extend for at least another 2 years. People are really upset about that.
Do you expect that there will be any changes to school funding or the proposal to expand the voucher program?
Well, I would hope so. I would hope that the Republicans realize that the voucher experiment has failed. It's been going for over 20 years and has yet to show any types of results. I don't think we should double down on a failed strategy. Where we've seen it the most in Milwaukee, where it's existed the longest, we can see the decimation that it's done to public schools. We don't see any extra results. What we do see is the $1.5 billion that it's pulled from taxpayers and that additional burden being put in a good portion of it being put on property taxpayers. Which is what's really quite funny, Joy, is that you see these areas where it's going to expand and them saying, suddenly realizing that this is a bad idea. These Republicans who've accepted voucher money for their campaigns for 20 years are suddenly finding religion on the topic because they know how bad it's going to be for their community. So I think there's not just hope for trying to turn down the expansion, but trying to add accountability to the public schools. If that doesn't happen, Joy, I'm not sure how these Republicans can't be called hypocrites on this topic.
Some of your colleagues, Republican colleagues, Senators Ellis and Olson, want to increase school funding, don't they?
Yeah, they've come out last month and said that they want to see additional funds going into our public schools. Olson had given a dollar amount that was higher. Tony Evers gave a number that was higher than that, but it looks like they're asking for at least some type of an increase. From the finance hearings that they've had before where the finance committee is there, they've heard, and they're actually calling it the Olson and Ellis proposal to try and increase money per pupil funding. So there is a chance, I think, that in the Senate, especially you have the Republicans there who don't want to see this voucher expansion and want to see additional funds for the public schools. As they put it, they're going to have a hard time going back to their public school administrators with a 0% increase at the same time as there's about a 30% increase for the unaccountable voucher schools.
Besides education issues, what other areas of the state budget are of most concern to you and your constituents?
Well, I mean, I think the real heart of it, right, is that this budget leaves behind the middle class in the state. We saw the last budget. The governor had complete control over the government then. He ended up having whatever he wanted in it, and a lot of people said, okay, we're going to do this, including Republicans. They went along with it, rubber stamped it, and what we got is 44th in the nation. And in terms of private sector job growth, we're at the bottom. And this budget simply doubles down on that. So we want something that actually balances out to make sure that the middle class is not left behind. I think the biggest thing that he could do is to simply say yes to the strengthening of badger care in our state, accepting the federal money that's available and allocated just for that. That would have $4.4 billion in federal funding come to our state. It would help ensure 175,000 people who otherwise won't get it. It'll eliminate waiting lists and create a net 10,500 new jobs. I got to say that number again, 10,500 new jobs, which is more than any proposal this governor has put forward, any proposal any Republican has put forward for the last 10 years, and same for Democrats for the last 10 years. This is a huge jobs benefit to the state, and instead, the governor's proposed going down a path where it's going to actually cost us more. We don't get those jobs, and wait lists continue to grow. So I think on that one alone, if there's one thing that the Republicans were going to stand up for the middle class on, it would be just to simply strengthen badger care. And I could tell you stories, again, of just the one town hall, one listening session that we had of people whose lives were saved by badger care and how they are afraid. They're fine now. They're off of it. But they're afraid that the next person won't have that. There was a woman who had a friend who had a 10-pound tumor removed from her stomach, and it was paid for by badger care, and she wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for that. And she's worried about the 175,000 other people who are out there who that could happen to them. And it's all simply a choice. And I think what's truly unfortunate, Joy, is that the reason, the best we can tell, the reason it's being turned down right now by the governor is for ideology. just so that he can use this as a punchline if he decides to run for president some way down the road, that he, you know, that he turned up his nose at Obamacare, at a health care expansion. And for that, we're leaving behind 175,000 people.
We are talking with Democratic State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee. He is the Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader, talking with us about some budget issues and other issues making news at the state capitol. Democrats are holding town hall meetings or listening sessions on the state budget, even though the Joint Finance Committee has concluded its series of four. Held the first one in Milwaukee, Democrats did on Saturday. There will be one tonight in Wausau and Viroqua, one tomorrow in Madison. We'll find a list of these and post them on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. If you have a question for Senator Larson or a view on any of these budget issues or other issues that the legislature is grappling with, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Here's an update on our weather forecast, and a big update it is. A major winter storm is predicted to hit far northwest Wisconsin overnight. Thunderstorms tonight could result in snowfall rates of 1 to 2 inches an hour in northwest Wisconsin, meaning 11 inches or so total snow expected with this winter storm. Major winter storm hitting far northwest Wisconsin overnight. If you plan to travel to the area later today and tonight, be sure to monitor the latest forecasts and winter weather statements. Today, during the day, not so bad. Cloudy and milder. There is a chance of rain. Highs today in the 50s. Again, those storms, though, tonight. Heavy rain, isolated storms in Wisconsin, including the major winter storm for far northwest Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, we will talk with a psychiatrist who wrote a book that is a family guide for mental health care. We'll talk about that coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about state budget issues with Chris Larson, who is a state senator from Milwaukee. He's in Wausau, he said, today for one of the Democrats' town hall meetings tonight on the state budget. And Senator Larson, I wanted to ask you about one issue that broke on Friday to see if you have any reaction to the University of Wisconsin system having about $648 million in reserves. And many Republicans quite upset about this. Some are calling for a tuition freeze for the University of Wisconsin, saying, you know, if they've got this money in reserve, they don't need to hike tuition. Do you have any thoughts or reaction to this?
Yeah, I mean, you can hear the fake outrage all the way up here in Wausau from Madison on this one from the Republicans. It's these are the guys who cut our not just K-12 education to the highest degree in our state's history. They also took a significant slash to the UW budget, not just in the budget last time, but they also did it when lapses were needed, when it was showing that we were projected for a deficit. UW system was the first one to take to get an axe to it. So I think this the outrage you're hearing to define this dollar amount, I think it's over two-thirds of that is already allocated. It's just not spent. It's allocated for future projects. And, I mean, the Republicans are smart enough to know this, but I think they're just looking for any type of justification to beat up on the UW system, which, frankly, they're not fans of. And they don't really hide that in the way that they allocate their budget. So I think they're just looking for an excuse. And the UW system was quick to explain where this money came from. And I think what's interesting, and to show where they're really coming from, had the UW system had a deficit of what would be $200 million, I think you would have been hearing them scream just the same. Had it been $20 million, either way, they would have been screaming just the same. So I think they're just looking for a good scapegoat in the UW system. But to put it frankly, and in the words of somebody who spoke at a listening session on Saturday, if you're not investing in education, you're investing in ignorance. So I think it's a matter of working to figure out what this the dollar amount is, figure out how best to fund the UW system for the students, and not just make irrational decisions based off of press releases.
Matt in Ellsworth is with us. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Joy. Chris, I was just wondering, are you going to just continually bash the other side of the aisle? You don't sound to be very bipartisan in the way that you're speaking this morning. One of the things is, when I went to River Falls, about 10 years ago, actually, I was paying about $8,000 a year. Now it's like up to like $14,000. Are the people that go to school there now getting twice the education that I was? And my question was for you, was how much money, if the world was your oyster, how much money would you invest in education? I mean, would you throw millions and millions of dollars into it? Would you just keep pouring it on until we have down to one teacher for every 10 students? And then also, how much...
Hey, I'm sorry, Matt, you gave us a whole lot there. How much money does public education need? Matt wants to know, Senator Larson.
Sure. Well, I think we should restore our promise in the two-thirds funding formula coming from the state. And to be honest, Democrats haven't always done that, and it's gone in this downward slide. The governor took that and put it on steroids. I think that restoring that two-thirds funding formula would be key. And to be honest, why don't we project 10 years out into the future with our education system the same way we do with roads? Roads and transportation continues to get more money every single budget. There's actually, you might not know this, Joy, there's actually a reverse budget fundraise. There was all this screaming by the Republicans about Doyle raiding the transportation fund. Well, that money has gone the other way. More than Doyle ever took out of the transportation fund has been spent in that now. And I think going the other way, we should be making sure we're investing in education that far out. Instead, we've seen cuts. Every increase for the last 10 years, for Matt, this is important to know, every increase for the last 10 years has only kept pace with inflation. So frankly, we haven't increased education funds in our state in over a decade. And I think to expect somebody to do better with that, it's not practical. So I think spending as much as needed. I think making sure that there are decent-sized classes, making sure we restore our promise to the two-thirds funding formula, and making sure that every kid has access to a quality education. But we haven't done that. We've turned our back on that promise.
So Matt says that he was able to spend not so much on tuition when he went to school at UW River Falls, and it's a whole lot more now. Why is that?
Well, this is a national problem, right? We focus on Wisconsin because we're from Wisconsin, but the problem doesn't start within our borders. A lot of it starts with the fact that tuition costs have gone up nationwide because they're spending a lot more. They're charging a lot more. People are able to obtain higher loans. The UW system or colleges end up taking that, and students have to fund a lot more of their portion of education. In our state, the problem with our border is that the funding for the portion of the university's expense that comes from the state has shrank continually, and the money ends up being shouldered by students. And it was cheap when I went. It was cheaper. I was able to pay for the first two semesters out of pocket without taking out a loan, but after that was impractical. And I think if we're going to go back to that, we're going to have to figure out how to prioritize that. When I was a student, I think, and beyond before that, the UW system was a point of pride. It was a key export that we had as being the education state. And I think we're going to have to figure out a way to restore that so that kids don't have to end up paying higher and higher tuition and putting college out of reach for them. And I'm committed to doing that as the youngest state senator we have, as well as probably the one that still has the highest share of college debt to pay off.
Didn't know that. Myra in Plainfield is with us. Hello.
Hi.
Yes. What is your question? Yes. What is your question?
I guess the elephant in the room is, why are they going after the funding and the salaries of the county, when they should really be cutting their own salaries and the governor's salaries? Why is everybody open game but them?
Oh, all right. So you're talking about there's this bill that would apparently shrink the pay of the Milwaukee County Board members.
Yep.
Yeah. So why pick on them and why not cut your own salary?
I'm familiar with it, and I'm opposed. As somebody who was sworn in as a Milwaukee County supervisor 5 years and a day ago, I knew what I was getting into, and I treated it like a full-time job. A lot of the folks there do treat it like that. The same way in the Assembly and the Senate, a lot of folks do treat it like a full-time job. And I think that what's really ironic is that the guy who's leading this, he's a friend of mine, Joe Sanfilippo, was a county supervisor. He didn't give back any money when he was a county supervisor because he thought that he was getting paid too much. And so I think it's ironic that now that he is at the state level, he wants to cut everyone else's salaries by half. And I think that this is it's a wrong-headed proposal. It looks like the county board gets that people are upset with them, and they actually are taking a vote this week on downside or on cutting their salaries, on cutting their staff, and cutting off portions of pension and health care for themselves. So they're hearing this. I think that there's enough problems, frankly, with us being 44th in the nation in terms of job growth, with us falling further and further behind our neighboring states with all these cuts to education. There's other problems we should be tackling than trying to intrude into local politics.
Yeah, we'll need to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Chris Larson is the Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader, a Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.